It's Congressman Paul Tonko, who has news to impart. It's in the news this morning that for the third time, President Barack Obama is visiting here. I have two kind of water cooler thoughts about this, Congressman Tonko, but let me give you a little lead here. I'll give you an opportunity. Tell us about it. Why is he coming?
Well, the president has been advancing this innovation economy and updated advanced manufacturing programmatic effort to lift us into a new stage of manufacturing. And a lot of it is driven by precision, precision that deals with measurements less than a strand of hair and less of a diameter than a strand of hair. And that takes a lot of investment in the physical plant and certainly in human infrastructure in the workplace, and I think in the workforce. And what I believe the president will do is showcase the efforts going on here in within apprenticeship programs and certainly our training programs with the community colleges of the area, working with NYSERDA, where there's a technical campus in Luther Forest, and where there are students matriculating at nanotechnology for degrees in this sort of work, in nanotechnology, in semiconductor. And here we have the largest construction of a chip manufacturing plant in the country. And so I think there's a great opportunity here for him to use this as a backdrop, which really tethers the vision he has for this nation as it creates additional jobs, new jobs in the private sector.
It was hardly announced with my longstanding conservative friend, Doc Salvatore, who may become a constituent of yours. He's up in Saratoga Springs.
Okay.
He emailed me saying, I can't believe it. Political trip. Who's paying for it?
Well, you know, there's always, you know, in these roles, it's very easy to suggest everything is campaigning. But I believe part of sound representation is public information and public education, letting people know what the vision is and how we pursue that vision, and to fine-tune it via the public. And that communication, that dialogue is essential. It's ongoing. And, you know, for someone like myself and my colleagues, we're always 2 years from the next election, and the president is a mere 4 years from his or her next election. So, you know, it's very easy to extrapolate that as a campaign visit, when in fact it's important to show people what can happen out there with the proper investments, with focus that's essential.
If I could follow up, I mean, this probably is a question for the president, but I mean, we are a lot closer to the election than when he came the last time to Schenectady. And how do they figure that out? At some point they have to, decide, well, this speech is political, this speech is not.
Well, I think that basically there are those campaign stops where he'll do rallies and he'll get out there and do a message that covers a lot of talking points that are part of his campaign message. But in this case, it is much more an academic classroom discussion about the virtues of high tech, of the innovation economy, the ideas economy, and what efforts we need to make in terms of training the workforce, educating the workforce, and investing in the technology, especially as we move into this precision-oriented manufacturing, which is very pricey, and it's very important for us to figure out how we can best share those, absorb those costs in a way that shares the investment with a broader audience. We do that at nanotechnology, for example. There are very pricey situations that require any startup, any innovator in this arena to have a lot of front-loaded money. And what happens at nanotechnology is that there's tenant space available whereby these tenants share that same equipment, and so it takes it shaves down the price factor so that it is then an affordable dream for the innovator, and then that grows jobs.
From the other side, if you will, I was speaking with a young woman who would tend to be a supporter of both you and the president, wondering if you're going to come up with him on Air Force One.
Yeah, all those details are not complete. You know, all of that, Bob, would depend on where president is coming from. I'll remind your listening audience that this Air Force One has had recently flown back from Afghanistan. So it all depends on what his travel plans are, and those details are being worked out during the day today and perhaps over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, nonetheless, a very flattering statement, I believe, for this region. You know, Bob, just recently there have been several measurements of the most growth-prone regions in the country as it relates to clean energy, high-tech, and innovation. And it's not just one sampling. Brookings Institute ranked us right up there as the capital region, one of the hottest real estate areas for job growth in the country. Forbes magazine, Tech America, listed us number one as the highest growth region for clean energy, high-tech jobs. ABC Nightly News just did a huge feature. Economists are all touting this as one of the hottest growth areas. The clustering is beginning to happen. We need necessarily to be very aggressive through apprenticeship programs, through community colleges, Oakland has their wonderful clean room, science major, and certification, working through our four-year campuses and certainly through our research centers like that at RPI, to make certain that we're at that cutting edge of training for what is a very precision-oriented field that employs people from the trades over to the PhD. So there's great opportunity here. Not everyone, obviously, will end up in this high-tech zone.
And
but there will be ancillary sectors that have to respond to the needs of these businesses, small and large, and that will grow, I think, a cross-section of jobs that then can't help but build the promise and hope into the fabric of this region.
Which is why you're saying he wants to come here, or specifically
right.
to that plant. You know, to show that I'm a dog, like a dog with a bone, when was the time you came up on Air Force One? Was it his first visit here or second visit?
I traveled with him on Air Force One at both visits.
Oh, at both visits?
This, by the way, will be his third visit in as many years.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
over the course of 3 years, it's a real encouraging statement made to this area, one of great respect shown by the president for this region. And you know, whenever we can, with any conversation I have with the White House, I underscore the growth that continues to happen here. And any time when I have a chance to speak on the floor, I want to market this area for the vision it has, for the thematics it's developing, and for the job growth that we have here.
And also, in connection with the visit, you know, in terms of politics, I do note that your Republican colleague, Chris Gibson, who was just on this program a couple of days ago, because he now represents Western Montgomery County, he also, he and you announced that the president's coming here. So he was sort of, I would presume he's on board with this too.
Yes, oh, very much so. We were together yesterday, and you know, we decided that it would be very important for the area to know that the president was coming here, and reached out to my colleague to see if there was a way we could do this jointly, and he was anxious to do that. And I believe, you know, anytime the president is coming into your region, and this is a bipartisan expression, I believe, by the great majority of legislators in Washington, it's a flattering thing. I mean, there are those colleagues who have not had those visits yet, and, you know, being much more junior than several of my colleagues, it's something that you almost, you know, don't talk about that much, because to have three visits into your district is a very strong statement and one that shows great partnership.
We're talking with Amsterdam Congressman Paul Tonko. Can you stay till 8 o'clock?
I can. And just let me make this mention before you break. I know you have a break here. But just recently, the administration and my crew had been talking about visiting nanotechnology, and the director of advanced manufacturing at NIST, the National Institute for Standards and Technology, came and did an up-close and personal tour of the nanotechnology facility in Albany at Exit 24. So, you know, this is all, like, really striking tremendous awareness in in the administration, which then helps with the advocacy for policy and resources.
We'll continue with Congressman Tonko in just a moment. If you have questions or comments, 684-0123, WVTL-FM. We're back with Amsterdam Congressman Paul Tonko, and you're going to a Montgomery County event this morning. Is that true?
Right. There's a mental health walk that is kicking off at City Hall in Amsterdam, and May is Mental Health Month. And I have worked very closely with the community, and we're very blessed to have the mental health support efforts that we have through NAMI, the National Alliance for Mentally Ill. Our local chapter has a tremendous staff. Janine and her team are just tremendously helpful and very staunch in their advocacy for, again, laws that are developed to address the needs of our for mental health. And I'll be kicking off the walk that is geared toward raising not only funds, but awareness of the progress made and the fights that must still continue on behalf of that area of healthcare. Mm. And, you know, I led the fight in Albany before I left that legislative body for mental health parity so that insurance coverage would be available for mental health needs where there are illnesses and disorders.
And the walk is in Montgomery County. Where and when is it?
It's this morning. It starts this morning, so if anyone wants to join in, I believe the route is from City Hall down to Guy Park Avenue out to St. Mary's Hospital campus.
And it starts now? You mean at 8 o'clock or something?
It starts around 8:15, I believe.
Okay. Congressman Paul Tonko with us. Before the announcement about the president, the kind of the buzz that you were involved in terms of what's going on in the Congress has to do with student loans and a hike in interest rate on student loans. What's happening with that?
Well, not enough, and we've got a precious few days, less than 60, because at our press conference it was 60 days out before the cap on student loan interest rates would be lifted. There's a measure that has been in place for a couple of years now, that caps that interest on loans at 3.4%. Without that cap, which is due to sunset on July 1, the rates go to 6.8%, Bob, which would mean about $1,000 more in cost per month for students. I have, with my colleagues, been very outspoken about addressing this and getting it done, reauthorizing it. The affordability of a higher ed opportunity, the ability to tether your dream in affordable scenarios is absolutely critical, yes, to the individual student and her or his family, but also to society at large. Our benefits for a well-trained, highly developed, intellectualized society means that we can respond to situations like those earlier addressed on your show this morning for the many, many jobs that are being created. In order for us to maintain our competitive edge as a nation and as a private sector looking to be successful and grow additional jobs, we need to advance education and higher education. And this effort here to stall or to come up with payment mechanisms that are just ludicrous is unacceptable.
Also, it seems, I mean, I think there is a real issue here, and honestly, it's been an issue in my family, you know, with the debt
right.
When you go on to higher, especially higher education. But isn't it that education or college education just costs too much? I mean, why does it keep, the only thing that keeps going up?
Well, you know, a lot of it is driven by, you know, the appropriateness of having technology and a well-trained professorial staff. You know, people are making efforts to contain those costs and reduce those costs, but the immediate issue is this loan issue. And, you know, to just drop this effort in such an abrupt fashion would be tremendously difficult. Bob, in our press conference the other day, we had a bar graph that showed that student loan debt has surpassed credit card debt and auto loan debt. It is the highest singular form of debt in our society. And the wedge of 40-year-olds and under has grown to two-thirds. Two-thirds of the pie for student loans is being paid by those at 40 and under. And that wedge has grown tremendously. And people are going much deeper into their career paying off their loans. There are people into their 40s that are still paying their student loans from, you know, a traditional route in education and higher ed. And that just is a very expensive proposition. And we want to make certain that there's relief, that this is a high priority in Washington. It ought to be, and we're going to continue to pursue this so that we don't surpass that July 1 threshold date.
Well, Congressman Paul Tonko, I thank you for joining us, and once again, you'll soon be at this mental health walk at Amsterdam City Hall, right?
And, you know, whether you can make the walk or not, I encourage people to see how to call the office on the the local Mental Health Association in Fulton, Montgomery County, to see how you can assist with your contributions there. A great group that, you know, does great effort to help our community, and they need the friends of the community to support them.
Congressman Tonko, thanks very much. We hope to talk to you next week. Take care.
Well, to you and your listeners, Bob, have a great weekend. I hope we do see some rays of sunshine.
All right. Take care, Paul. Congressman Paul Tonko on WVTL-FM.